ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
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 Sringadeva's appearance today, we're going to read from 7th canto. And verses 14 through 21. In our practice in Krishna consciousness as devotees in ISKCON, commonly we think of Lord Nrsimhadev as our protector when there's some danger. We can take shelter of Lord Nrsimhadev and he'll protect us. So, having that sense of being protected is a position where there's no fear. There's a verse where Prahlad is speaking about the demigods feeling they were afraid. Hiranyakashipu terrorizing the universe, including themselves, and they were feeling helpless. So the appearance of Lord Nrsimhadev destroying Hiranyakashipu, they are feeling safe. Fearless. But the feature of the Lord's anger was still raging, and so they were afraid of his anger. So Prahlad prays, "My Lord Nrsimhadev, please, therefore, cease your anger now that my father, the great demon Hiranyakashipu, has been killed. Since even saintly persons take pleasure in the killing of a scorpion or a snake, all the worlds have achieved great satisfaction because of the death of this demon. Now they are confident of their happiness, and they will always remember your auspicious incarnation in order to be free from fear." We heard yesterday, Lord Nrsimhadev speaking in that animated little video presentation, that by remembrance of Lord Nrsimhadev, then one's materialistic desires or affinity for enjoying material opulence is taken away. It's removed. What is in a protected situation. And here, one is, by always remembering your auspicious incarnation, the demigods will become free from fear. Commonly, we're afraid of something outside of ourselves, but the greater fear is something inside of ourselves. That's our, you can say it in different ways, having lost our relationship with the personality of Godhead, or having forgotten that relationship, that's the most fearful, or the opposite. Remembrance of that relationship, it's the position of fearlessness. Another way of saying the same thing, if we forget our relationship with the personality of Godhead, something is going to fill that space, that which is natural for us. There'll be shelter in something. And that shelter is not in a spiritual reality. The shelter will be in a fabricated reality or material happiness. And the nature of material life, that's what goes on. Forgetful. It's inversely proportionate. As one forgets one's relationship with the personality of Godhead, one's material attraction becomes stronger. As one remembers what the personality of Godhead, one's material attraction becomes slackened. One can be in the same atmosphere, but just the disposition of material enjoyment fluctuates according to one's remembrance of the personality of Godhead. So the position of fearlessness is full shelter in the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and there are things that assist us in taking that full shelter. He's mentioning one right here. Always remembering the auspicious incarnation of Lord Nrisimhadev produces detachment from material enjoyment and at the same time fearlessness, because fear is something that I now have will be taken away, but whatever it is that we have materially, it will be taken away. You can bluff and say, no, it won't be taken away, but it'll be taken away. Or you can be lulled into complacency and not even think at all and go on as if I'll be a child forever, just playing, enjoying my toys, my things of life, and taken away. Youth is taken away, the toys are taken away, life as we know it is taken away. Very foolish, very immature, and it's a position of fear. Similarly, we may try to create a situation of safety and protection for others. That's another foolishness. There's a nice expression in the verses that follow this, where Prahlad Maharaj takes this position of fearlessness and goes more deeply. I'm going to read a few verses and then touch on that. We still do our, the point I'm going to make is, we still do our duties. Although there's only one thing, and that's our relationship with the personality of Godhead. We have these bodies, and we do our duties, but our shelter is not in, when we're in Krishna consciousness, it's not in the material aspect. That will bring me happiness. That will bring me safety. That would bring me into a position where I no longer have fear. That's not the conception of a Vaishnava. The conception of a Vaishnava is we have our shelter in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here's how Prahlad says it, text 15. My Lord, who are never conquered by anyone, I am certainly not afraid of your ferocious mouth and tongue, your eyes bright like the sun, or your frowning eyebrows. I do not fear your sharp, pinching teeth. Just hearing it sounds like. Your garland of intestines. Imagine if someone... Your mane soaked with blood, or your high wedge-like ears, like a cat that's getting ready to pounce on a mouse or something. Their ears go up. They're poised. So, Lord Nrisimhadev was in this bloody, intense, intestine garland, pinching teeth, sharp claws, ears. I'm not afraid of that. Nor do I fear your tumultuous roaring, which makes elephants flee to distant places, or your nails, which are meant to kill your enemies. I'm not afraid of that at all. Why? He understands that's for the non-devotees. O most powerful, insurmountable Lord, who are kind to the fallen souls, I have been put into the association of demons as a result of my activities, and therefore I am very much afraid of my condition of life within this material world. When will that moment come when you call me to the shelter of your lotus feet, which are the ultimate goal for liberation for conditioned life, from conditional life? Prahlad is not afraid of his father. Prahlad is not afraid of this fierce feature of Lord Nrsingadev. He understands his father can't harm him. That's something outside, and you know, was immediately, you know, in constant association, in the same family, this terrible personality. Not afraid of the Lord. What was he afraid of? His tendency to try to be an enjoyer in material existence. And so his position of safety is the shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. He's at the Lord's lotus feet. The Lord has come personally to protect him from Lord Nrsingadev. Of course, he was protecting him before he made his appearance. He was protecting him. Then protecting him by his appearance. He does have the shelter of his lotus feet. But this is an important Vaishnav mood. To be always in a humble mood and striving, or as our six Goswamis, feeling separation from Krishna and searching for Krishna. Hey Radhe, Rajadevi ke Chalalite. Where are you, my dear Krishna? Although they're in contact. Same. Prahlad is in contact with the Supreme Lord. He's standing before him. When will you give me shelter at your lotus feet? The searching and striving spirit of a spiritualist. That's Prahlad's qualification. O Great One, O Supreme Lord, because of combination with pleasing and displeasing circumstances, and because of separation from them, one is placed in a most regrettable position within heaven or hellish planets, as if burning in a fire of lamentation, although there are many remedies by which to get out of the miserable life. Any such remedies in the material world are more miserable than the miseries themselves. Therefore, I think that the only remedy is to engage in your service. Kindly instruct me in such service. So all other shelters, to come to this position of fearlessness, all other shelters have to be removed. There's a both features, an inspirational feature and an analytical feature. the analytical. He knows very clearly. It's not just some blind sentiment. He knows factually. He's just a 5-year-old boy. What is, you know, it's not from worldly experience, but he has full conviction. All things of this world are temporary. He speaks, you know, you want to give me some benediction. What's the use of some benediction? I've seen my father. He had what riches he had, what power he had, what opulence. He had everything. And in a second, it's gone. Please don't offer me those things. That's illusion. No. We're foolish. Common position is being foolish enough to think, well, he didn't do it right, but if I get that situation, I'll do it right. And then I'll be happy. So Prahlad is not foolish like that. He saw. He heard. And that's sufficient. There's this nice teaching you're all familiar with, that there's first class intelligence and second class and third class and fourth class. First class intelligence is just by hearing something one can fully understand. In some cases, we're not so qualified. So if we hear something and then see it, then we can understand. But sometimes even seeing it, we can't understand. So hear something, see something, and then experience it ourselves. Then we can understand. And there's some persons that even they experience it themselves, they can't understand. That's the fourth class. So Prahlad he's heard from Narada, and so the capacity to analyze things is given by that hearing. And he saw that his father had everything, materially speaking. So powerful, incomparable from a material perspective. And gone. So please don't ask me to become interested in those things. Don't offer those things as enticements. No, please don't do that. And when one looks at the remedies for the sufferings that come from the material circumstance, taking shelter of material circumstances, the remedies are more painful and more problematic than the situation itself. Fundamentally, the where one takes shelter has to change. He's just a 5-year-old boy, but he understands it, and he's reciting this to his shelter. Please engage me in your service. I see no other means. Please instruct me how to engage in your service. O my Lord Nrisingadeva, by engaging in your transcendental living service in the association of devotees who are liberated souls, hamsas, I shall become completely uncontaminated by the association of the three modes of nature and be able to chant the glories of your lordship who are so dear to me. I shall chant your glories following exactly in the footsteps of Lord Brahma, who happens to be standing right over there. Assembly of the demigods are observing all of this, and his disciplic succession. In this way, I shall be undoubtedly able to cross the ocean of nations. So this is not only what the shelter is, but how to attain it. The means. The means is the association of qualified souls. So if there's some desire in my heart, that's the desire. There's not material desire. There's the hankering for the association of liberated souls. Then he covers the topic again. My Dear Lord Nrisingadev, O Supreme, because of a bodily conception of life, embodied souls neglected and not cared for by you cannot do anything for their betterment. He says the same thing to Hiranyakashipu, my dear demoniac father, one who holds a bodily conception of life. So think of how this may apply to ourselves. One who holds a bodily conception of life cannot help themselves, cannot be helped by others, nor a combination of the two. That's very promising. So don't hold on to a bodily conception of life. So now he's saying it to Lord Nrisingadev. Because of a bodily conception of life, embodied souls neglected or not cared for by you cannot do anything for their betterment. That is to say, the personality of Godhead responds to or reciprocates with our regard for Him. But how can we have regard for Him if we're holding on to a bodily conception of life? We'll be interested in the bodily conception of life and thinking the resources springing from the bodily conception of life, my own strength, my friends, my relatives, my family, my bank balance, my alarm system, I'm protected. Such a person, the personality of Godhead, Prahlad is saying, doesn't interfere. They don't wish that upon them, but if that's their disposition, they don't get the Lord's protection. It appears that the Lord is neglecting them, but it's just He's reciprocating with their cavalier disposition. Who needs you? I'm situated, safe, working on it at least. Whatever remedies they accept, although perhaps temporarily beneficial, are certainly impermanent. For example, this is Prahlad speaking, a father and mother cannot protect their child, a physician and medicine cannot relieve a suffering patient, and a boat on the ocean cannot protect a drowning man. Three examples. Mother and father, parents, they want to protect their children. And for all the busyness of their protection, there's no guarantee that the child will be safe. Okay? Medicine. Someone has an illness, we ourselves may have an illness, we go to a good physician, take good medicine. No guarantee. No physician can guarantee and no individual can guarantee. Or another, we want to cross the ocean, we get a nice boat. No guarantee. So what does that mean? What are we to practically understand from this? We want to cross the ocean, don't get a boat. If you get sick, don't go to a doctor. And if you're a parent, don't protect your children. That's not the message. One should unless one is protected by the mercy of the Lord, no remedial measure can act effectively. One should consequently depend fully on the causeless mercy of the Lord. Although, as a matter of routine duty, one must, of course, accept other remedial measures. No one can protect one who is neglected by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If one is interested in protecting, then finding the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord and situating oneself and those who one wants to protect there is real protection. It doesn't mean don't get your alarm system or don't lock your door or don't even close the door. Just leave it wide open and leave the keys in your car and your, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Don't worry about it. Krishna will protect you. We take remedial measures, but ultimately that's not our protection. We do our duties of life, but it's not our duties of life are thereby going to provide us everything, including well-being, protection, safety. It's the Supreme Lord. Ultimately, it's the Supreme Lord. So we don't become the fanatics that say, you know, I don't care. It's just the Supreme Lord. We do the duties of life. As a matter of routine duty, one must, of course, accept other remedial measures. The internal consciousness of taking shelter. What is the message of Prahlad? If one is in such a highly, highly elevated place of Krishna consciousness, like Prahlad or Maharaj Ambarish, they made zero effort to protect themselves from the impending danger that was being sent to them. They did nothing, at least apparently. But their mind didn't move a fraction of an inch from the personality of Godhead. And thus they were protected by the Lord. So we're not on that level of Krishna consciousness. But the principle for us is, although doing routine things, the shelter for us should become like Prahlad. Understanding the frailties of any other shelter. Two more verses. My dear Lord, everyone in this material world is under the modes of material nature. Being influenced by goodness, passion, and ignorance, everyone from the greatest personality, Lord Brahma, down to the small ant, works under the influence of these modes. Therefore, everyone in this material world is influenced by your energy. The cause for which they work, the place where they work, the time when they work, the matter due to which they work, the goal of life they have considered final, and the process for attaining this goal. All are nothing but manifestations of your energy. Indeed, since the energy and the energetic are identical, all of them are but manifestations of you. So what's he doing here? It's a third time, in a different way, he's saying the same thing. Let us take shelter of you. Not of those things that are simply your energy, not recognizing you're the proprietor of the energy. If we take shelter of you, that energy being under your control will be made according to however you have the disposition to make it. And we feel safe because we have our trust in you. O Supreme Lord, O Supreme Eternal, by expanding your plenary portion, you have created the subtle bodies of the living entities. That's the mind, by the way. Through the agency of your external energy, which is agitated by time, thus the mind entraps the living entity in unlimited varieties of desires to be fulfilled by the Vedic directions of Karmakanda and the 16 elements. Who can get free from this entanglement, unless he takes shelter of you? Message here, again, is even being a perfectly religious person, that's not the shelter either. If that perfect execution of religious duty is minus shelter of you, It's not some particular behavior that we need to do, and now we're safe. Even as devotees, it's the shelter of the personality of Godhead. The activities of devotional service, according to Bhagavad Gita, they, when properly performed, they awaken a desire to attain to Krishna, to attain Krishna's shelter. So the essence is Krishna's shelter, our relationship with Krishna. The essence is not this behavior, that behavior, or summation of many behaviors. It's our desire to be in the association of the personality of God. And as Prabhupada is saying, there he is before him. Please, when will you give me shelter of your lotus feet? He is giving that shelter. And in his mood of humility, there's this expression, I'm not qualified. When will that day come? Prahlad Maharaj, although just a small boy, is one of our Mahajans, and he's showing us the way. He knows exactly what he's doing. He's showing us the way. He's already there, but he's showing us the way. By his own example, his teachings, his mood, his consciousness, his fearlessness, his capacity to discriminate between where real shelter is and where real shelter isn't, and go to the place of real shelter. And so his intelligence is very strong. And such personalities can disclose things that our worldliness, whatever ability, capacity, and intelligence, and piety, and whatever, put it all together in a nice package, it's never going to allow us to understand things that such personalities can understand. He's just disclosing these truths about the personality of Godhead and the world in which we live. They're false shelters, yet at the same time he's making the statement that everything is but your energy, and therefore there's no reason to be afraid of your energy any more than being afraid of you. But the thing to be afraid of is materialistic desire. That means trying to be the enjoyer of that. And that's very dangerous. So please remove those material desires from my heart. In his case, he doesn't have any. Still he's praying, please remove those material desires from my heart. And give me shelter of your lotus feet. That's the position of fearlessness. I mean, correspondence with one devotee that's describing his sense of having fear. And, you know, even when chanting or when doing this and, you know, career and relationships, and there's this apprehension of fear. But the position of fearlessness is taking shelter in the personality of Godhead. And without that, it's a position of fear. And we all have that, whether we're sensitized to it or not. We're either fearful, or we're bluffing. We're saying we're not fearful, but we're fearful. Or we're in la-la land. We're just, complacently going on merrily, merrily, merrily. Life is but a dream. And that's also fearful. Factually, fearful. Although we may be lulled into thinking everything's nice. Lord Nisringadeva's appearance day is our regular worship. Every day, every arti that we perform, every kirtan that we perform, there's this worship of Lord Nisringadeva. Very prominent. Prabhupada has installed that in a very prominent place in our daily practice. To give us that position of fearlessness, to give us protection from the mistakes we may have made in worshiping, or the impurities that are there within our heart, so that the full shelter of Krishna is accessible by the mercy of Lord Nisringadeva. This little section I read is a nice analysis and inspiring words by Prahlad, how that shelter is to be taken, and in essence, no other shelter. No other shelter. And why? Even though the opportunities may present themselves to us, no other shelter. No other shelter. And then we have access to Lord Nisringadeva's protection, as did Prahlad. Unlike the demigod didn't have the same. It took Prahlad. Any comments or questions?
Maharaj, the fearful position of losing the shelter. I was in that once because of not that you and my mentors are not giving that, but my disposition was not right. But then when understanding the merciful feature, merciful nature, and then it is really like I feel complete protection. And this, how do I extend to my subordinates?
By example and by precept. Precept. Precept means teaching. By your words. But more powerfully by your example. And another thought is that it's not exactly, you that's going to do it. You can be an instrument to assist that which is Krishna's desire. And others are also instruments to assist that which is Krishna's desire. But then others whoever they may be, there's some free will choices they need to make also. Look at this. Here's, you know, Prahlad extended everything to his classmates as to Hiranyakashipu, and Hiranyakashipu said no. So there's free will choices. It's not up to us.
That's the time of power, world power. Yeah.
I'm listening.
That's like when I see sometimes like that's not happening, then I'm getting angry.
Well, then you're not there yet yourself. Who's the controller? Yes? Something else? Yes?
About yesterday's class, yesterday evening's class, that you are saying when we praise the Lord, like we get decorated by praising the Lord. So like being in this fruitive condition, like even that praising also like make it mix it with this like selfish mode to Guru Maharaj, like.
Sure.
So like what can I do at that point?
Become pure. Like Prahlad is doing. What Prahlad is doing is recognizing the, as you're doing, recognizing the futility of that, of material gain. It can be gross material gain or subtle material gain. And the futility of that. It's a deception. It's the illusory energy's deception to take you away from Krishna. So then you say, no, I'm not going away from Krishna. I'm not going to accept this deception. And the power of it becomes weakened. I mean, think of something that's a little more remote, but you know, but proximate enough you can relate to. Supposing there's someone that you're helping in Krishna consciousness and they're trying to become vegetarian or they're trying to give up something. Well, you know, the more healthy position is being vegetarian or doing without something. As long as the mind contemplates that something, it's hard to give that something up. It's just in the mind. Let's say cigarettes. Not so common of an experience for all of you, but if it's addictive and the person minus the cigarette is just thinking of the cigarette, it's an addiction. It's more healthy to be without it, but the mind keeps thinking of that something. So, now back to your question. Something that actually induces pride, that's the material condition. Okay, now I'm doing something that's good and I'm becoming proud that I'm doing something that's good. Come on. It won't go away. So what to do? Take, you know, recognize that's not good and take shelter of just simply serving without motivation. Okay, but I'm not there because I'm thinking of, you know, I'm proud. I want to enjoy. At least subtly. Right? You know, a little bit. So, abandon the false shelter and consciously take firm shelter in reality. And practice and practice and practice. Pray to Krishna, fervently appeal to Krishna. And continue. Material tendency doesn't go away easily.
To develop qualities, what should be our, like in the beginning said, what should be our first steps?
The first step is to become attached to Krishna. Read the purport of chapter 13, text 8 through 12. It's in the first paragraph. Mai chana nyoyogina bhaktir avyabhicharini. The first is complete shelter in the personality of Godhead. Qualities, that's the first step. Well, how do I get shelter of the personality of Godhead? By the mercy of the spiritual master. So those two come first. And from those two, then qualities.
I have two more questions.
Okay.
As you said, like, Prahlad, like, he was feeling disqualified in front of the Lord. Like, and you said you have to start it somewhere.
Yes.
But like, when like I go like in front of deities or like in pray in my mind also, so there are impurities in heart. But then at that moment, you feel like little emotional because you have impurities and you are going it. And then I say
you're with devotees and you're doing what?
Impurities in heart and still going in front of deity, and then you're feeling little disqualified, little. Then I say no.
That's good.
Let's not do it. Then let's not do it.
No, no, that's not the right solution. Everything is fine up to that point. Let's follow Prahlad. Although I'm not qualified, you're very merciful. And you're so merciful that even something from an unqualified person that's insignificant, you who need nothing, will accept. Because you're merciful by nature. And the offering is not to benefit you. The offering is you're being very kind to allow this opportunity so that I can be benefited through the medium of that service. And so here it is. And that's emotional. But the make the emotional next step. It's what the Supreme Lord, who knows qualification, disqualification composite that exists in you, he's inviting your service. He's so merciful. That's the next step, emotionally and, you know, consciously. Next question.
I don't know, like, the satisfaction sometimes you get, it's just in mind, or how it's really satisfaction?
Commonly.
Sometimes.
Or, let's say, a mix. Something on the spiritual platform and something on the mental platform. Because we're mixed. We have our expectations on the material platform. The spiritual part is nice, but you know, if without the material part, we're going to check out. We have our expectations. We're conditioned. And so, it's both, it's a mix. And like Prahlad, we should pray to the Supreme Lord to please remove those material desires, because it's blocking my relationship with you. It's causing me so much pain and misery unnecessarily. because of those material desires. That I want to enjoy independently for you. That's what material desire is. Please remove them. I'm trying, but I need your help. I need your mercy, and you're merciful. Please. And stay in that spirit.
Maharaj, on the same lines of that question, how Prabhupada was feeling unqualified to actually be in front of a Lord and ask anything. I have that feeling that anyway I'm not doing much, why should I go bother my mentors or spiritual master? How do I come over that? Get over that feeling?
I think we just did that one. Okay, we'll do it again. I recognize my disqualification. I recognize my insignificance. Maybe a difference in the case of Prahlad is he was being pushed. A little bit like Hanuman was also being pushed across the ocean. You can do it, Hanuman. But yet, otherwise he was like, just off on the side and listening to the conversation very quietly, minding his own business, being humble. But then he was asked by Jambavan to do some service. And the demigods were offering Prahlad, go forward. I'm not qualified. Go forward. They've asked me to come forward and I'm not qualified. So to the that pushing can be, the instructions of our acharyas or the spiritual master or those who know and care deeply about you. Go forward. This is service. But I'm not qualified. Go forward. Krishna will accept. He's very merciful. Yeah, but I'm so insignificant. I'll just be a botheration. Go forward. Not a botheration. So, to some degree, it's the humility, and to some degree, it's something else. Whatever something else, it's our own reluctance to be in our relationship with Krishna. It's our material condition that we're got this very interesting rationale that says I'm not qualified and keeps you away from becoming qualified. It's the material energy. Not spiritual. And taking, shelter of the material energy isn't going to get us to the spiritual energy. It's the recognize, so it's an effort humbly performed, but recognizing the greater factor of mercy. With mercy, an unqualified person becomes qualified. That's a statement of Chaitanya Charitamrita. One, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, a lame man can climb mountains, a blind man can see the stars in the sky, and a dumb man can speak great orations, and a fool can understand the conclusive truths of the Vedas. Although I'm not qualified. Mercy reverses that disqualification. And it's a service. It's not, here I come, I'm qualified. It's service. Capture that mood of service. Feel impelled, not arising out of only, you know, from I want salvation. I want out of this unqualified condition. But service, whether you want or not, you're being asked to do some service. Go forward. You know, not like military command, but by gentle urging, go forward. Even Prabhupada uses that phrase, duty should be done as if, even if it's like military command. Attention! Yep. Military command. Left, right, left, right. Military command. So, not so rigid, but still. Under order, under high authority. Prahlad considered the demigods his superiors in so many ways, certainly by age, and so many other qualifications. At least that was how he saw. But they saw, you're more qualified. Anything else? Yes.
Devotion service is the essence and the behavior is not the essence or something like
that. Yes.
I didn't quite catch the context of it.
What time in the morning do the birds get up? About the same time we get up for Mangal Arati. So it's not rising early and attending Mangal Arati. That's a vidhi of sadhana bhakti. It's not the behavior per se. The behavior can help us get out of the mode of ignorance. Rise early. Okay, to rise early, I need to take rest early. Okay, that's been cultivating the quality of goodness. And there's a behavior connected to that. And it's, you know, directly it's worship of the deity and singing songs and praise of. But if it's just the behavior, that itself is not the essence. The essence is the consciousness. The human form of life has this capacity of Krishna consciousness, so we should be present in consciousness with what it is, the spirit of what we're doing. We're using Prabhupada's phrase, enter into the spirit of this hymn, right? Meditation on the songs, what we're singing. It's one thing to learn the words and sing along with the words, it's another thing to meditate on meaning and then enter into the spirit of that meaning. Make that one with your heart. That's the essence.
But
initially is okay. Initially is, you know, we are performing our duties routinely. And it has an effect of minimizing the influence of the lower modes and increasing the influence of the higher modes. It's, you know, promotes the quality of goodness. Keep going and understand the essence. Because one of the things that Shadbir Bhaktir Pranashati, something that can destroy bhakti, is performing the vidhis, the regulations, without considering the purpose behind them. So then one can become a nice religious person with no bhakti. That's something to be concerned about. So we don't want to be irreligious persons with bhakti. We want to be religious persons following vidhis, but with genuine devotion to Krishna.
So in that genuine devotion mode is there, that's when
Well, even the beginning can be done joyfully. Not like, you know, that's a, whether it's like this question of, you know, the happiness in the mind and the happiness from the soul. The happiness of the mind, let's say, you know, today's a fasting day. Some people like fasting. We heard this girl the other day. She likes, you know, I like fasting. But that's not the essence, because I like fasting. I feel happy when I'm fasting. Is Lord Nrisingadeva being honored in the course of that fasting? Are my thoughts going to Lord Nrisingadeva on his appearance day? And to another person, oh, I don't like fasting. I dread it. Some persons have a medical situation, they can't. So that's another thing. But some very successful, without naming names, some very successful materialists in today's world, they rise very early, more early than we do. And they're far from spiritual personalities. What's our consciousness fixed upon? So the happiness, the materialist that rises very early to, you know, catch the worm, the early bird gets the worm. So they're rising very early to get the money. And that's, you know, they may be feeling very happy. I'm the first one to get in the office at 4 o'clock in the morning. So I can, you know, get a head start on everybody to get the worm. When our temple was on 55th Street, I used to take regular morning walks in Central Park. And, you know, the cars that go through Central Park, it was the early morning, it's like two-thirds of them are limousines of people, you know, going down into the business area to get the worm. They're probably one of the first persons out, too. They just like start the day early, get everything set up so they can get their money, their program all set up. And, you know, a spirit. So, on the devotional life, happiness is in that devotional mood, whether it's in the beginning, middle, or, you know, advanced stage. Here's how Prahlad says it, and then Prabhupada expands it. You read these two verses again. O my Lord Nrisingadeva, by engaging in your transcendental loving service in the association of devotees who are liberated souls, I shall be completely uncontaminated by the association of the three modes of nature and be able to chant the glories of your Lordship who are so dear to me. I shall chant your glories, following exactly in the footsteps of Lord Ramananda's disciplic succession. This way, I shall undoubtedly be able to cross the ocean of nations. Then conversely, O Supreme Lord, because of a bodily conception of life and body souls neglected and not cared for by you cannot do anything for their betterment. Whatever remedies they accept, although perhaps temporarily beneficial, are certainly impermanent. For example, a father and a mother cannot protect their child. A physician and medicine cannot relieve a suffering patient, and a boat on an ocean cannot protect a drowning man. As devotees, practicing devotees, we have to accomplish the following three things. Perform the vittis. Avoid the prohibitions. And that's a frame or an atmosphere in which to grow the essence. The essence is our shelter taking in the personality of Godhead. And the purpose of those vidhis, the injunctions and the prohibitions, is precisely that. It's to create a favorable circumstance for our shelter taking in the personality of Godhead. So, as Charanya was saying, you know, at the beginning, we may be like, it's a challenge for us just to follow the vidhis and avoid the prohibitions, and that's like, you know, consumes a lot of energy and attention. Even in that stage, that the essence of shelter taking in the spiritual master and in Krishna, we need to pay attention to that, because that makes it easier and joyful, even in the practicing stages, beginning of the practicing stages. And if that attention is paid from the beginning, if we're trained to pay attention from the beginning, then it grows naturally. An example that comes to mind is charity. So, is the principle of charity something that you're supposed to do when you have lots of wealth? Or is the principle of charity something that you should put in place whatever you have, at whatever level of something that you have? It's a principle that one should exercise and be trained in. And the answer is, in principle. You may not have much, but in principle, charity should be given. And as capacity increases, more charity, because I have greater capacity. It's a principle. When I was growing up, the word that was used commonly was stewardship. You were given custody of something, and we're supposed to care for that something and use it wisely for the benefit of others. It's like, you know, it's charity. It's a principle of life, a value of life. So you don't have that, and, you know, when you get to the point where you have, you know, substance, miserly tendency prevails commonly. And even when charity is given, it's given begrudgingly. Oh, I have to give this charity. It's a mode of ignorance. So the mode of goodness is the principle of charity. So similarly, this idea of, or the component of spiritual life that we, even from the very beginning stages, the purpose behind what we're doing is to satisfy the personality of Godhead and enter into that disposition of serving the Supreme Lord and receiving the reciprocal mercy of the Supreme Lord in each step that we take in our spiritual progress. If that's put in place, then it grows and it grows and it grows as we go along further in the path of devotional service. I'm responding to the question specifically in terms of a more beginning stage, but intermediate or very advanced stage, the principle is the same. It's the essence. And it's something that doesn't just mechanically happen. It's something that we consciously cultivate. At some point we can hear it. The light goes on and said, oh, we're supposed to be doing that. And then, every blue moon we do it. And then it's not just every blue moon, it's we're supposed to be regularly doing it. So if one can capture that essence that's it's a significant part of the cultivation of our Krishna consciousness is that internal cultivation of our wanting to please Krishna. It becomes the life of a transcendentalist, wanting to please Guru and Krishna. So whatever, it's a check against our impure tendency and contamination and conditioning and fruitive spirit and I want to be happy and all those things that are make up material life. It naturally curbs those things on the strength of the positive. I want to please Krishna. I want to please Guru and Krishna. And so it's a conscious cultivation. And it's an internal, you may not be able to tell by looking externally, whereas behaviors you can tell externally. So-and-so attended Mangalarti. So-and-so didn't. That's observable externally. The internal has a different measure. It's consciousness. It's more durable. It's of substance. It's to be cultivated. Prahlad is a great acharya in this area. He's dismissing all these other false shelters and pleading for the one shelter. Even when he has it. Because that's his capacity. That's his standard. He's a mahaja. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
His Holiness Srila Prabhupada Maharaj. Jai.